This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news, as the special counsel in the Russian probe has something to say about that investigation. Special counsel Robert Mueller is scheduled to make public remarks about the probe at this hour. Earlier today, before it was announced that Mueller would be speaking, special advisor to President Trump Kellyanne Conway was talking about that investigation.
We said no collusion for 2 years, and they couldn't take us at our word. We had to waste $40 million of taxpayer money, 22 months, 500 witnesses, 2,800 subpoenas, 1.4 million documents to come up with what we said all along.
She was speaking on Fox and Friends. A huge tornado hammered northeast Kansas late yesterday, though it spared most of Kansas City, and no serious injuries or fatalities were reported. Today, the Mid-Atlantic runs a risk for very severe weather. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell now says if he gets a chance, he'll push through a confirmation vote for a Supreme Court justice in 2020, even though it's an election year. In 2016, the Republicans shut down President Obama's nominee for the High Court, saying it was an election year. Former Vice President and presidential hopeful Joe Biden responding to jabs made by President Trump while he was on a state visit to Japan. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The Biden campaign waited just minutes till after the president was back on U.S. soil to issue a statement in response to his praise for North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's insult, saying Joe Biden was a low IQ individual. The campaign says the president's comment was beneath the dignity of the office. To be on foreign soil on Memorial Day and to side repeatedly with a murderous dictator against a fellow American and former vice president speaks for itself. The statement also accuses the president of exchanging love letters with Kim.
This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
We told you about the severe weather that touched down in Kansas last night with a huge tornado not far from Kansas City. Some of those tornadoes also affecting Pennsylvania. Well, flooding continues along the Mississippi River as well. In fact, it's approaching historic levels in some stretches, already making history in others. The National Weather Service says flooding in at least 8 states is the longest lasting since the Great Flood of 1927. Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris has a plan to protect abortion rights. Speaking at a town hall event last night in South Carolina, the California senator said her plan would require Justice Department approval for any new abortion law if a state had violated Roe v. Wade over the past 25 years. Harris said it's clear that a recent spate of anti-abortion laws is meant to challenge the Supreme Court decision that led to legalized abortion, and she said that's an attack on a woman's access to reproductive health care.
Are we going to go back to the days of back alley abortions? Women died before we had Roe v. Wade in place. And so I'm going to tell you, on this issue, I'm kind of done.
That town hall event was sponsored by MSNBC. And Mackenzie Bezos is pledging to give half of her $36 billion fortune to charity. The former wife of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos became the third richest woman in the world with her divorce settlement in April. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I know you sometimes wonder if it's even possible with all the tension out of D.C. But fortunately, we've got the rest of the country that seems to be, pretty reasonable. We're going to be talking with the former Pentagon official, American Enterprise Institute Middle East expert, Michael Rubin, who's going to be joining us now, fresh from the Middle East. Michael, welcome. Good to have you back on the homeland, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, all eyes on Iran. We've got our military ships there, a lot of firepower. You say it's not about war, it's just about red lines. Break that down for us.
Well, basically, let's remember the last time we had a serious confrontation with Iran was in 1988. That's when the Reagan administration had been reflagging tankers because Iran was threatening free trade and international waters in the Persian Gulf. A U.S. flag ship hit a mine, and in response, we took out an Iranian oil platform. The Iranians tried to defend it and ended up losing most of their navy and a good chunk of their air force. Now, that was more than 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you have two military generations inside Iran that really don't remember what happens when you confront the United States directly. At the same time, over the last year, you've had a replacement at the top of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Actually, in that case, it was just a month ago. You had a replacement at the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' navy and of the regular Iranian navy. Remember, Iran has two different navies. The point is, now not only do you have no memory of what happens when you push the United States too far, but you have new people at the top of every force inside Iran that might actually be pushing the United States. And so, you know, they were getting overconfident. They were pushing too hard. They were infringing on the right of international shipping and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that the United States will stand up for our allies and say, you can't go further than this. This mm-hmm. this isn't about wanting war. This is actually about preventing it
exactly.
by informing the Iranians that certain behaviors will have certain consequences. And you know what? The Iranians have backed down.
Exactly. What was the straw that broke the camel's back here, Michael?
I mean, there was a confluence of straws.
Oh, really? Okay.
Ultimately, you have the... of course, you had the magnetic bombs, which were attached to the ships in Fujairah, which is one of the United Arab Emirates' most important oil-exporting locations, if you will. Mm-hmm. And remember, when the United States attacked Iran last time, back in 1988, it was when the Iranians actually used mines in Omani waters. So we're not talking just about international waters. We're talking about actually infringing in the waters of our allies just off their coast. That's ultimately, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Michael, what's happening inside of Iran? I mean, we hear that the, that the people themselves are getting rather anxious and frustrated with their government.
Well, Iran has really been a 40-year pressure cooker. Mm. And a lot of people forget, for example, that when the Islamic Revolution happened 40 years ago in 1979, that Iran's economy was actually booming. And there followed a great contraction because of revolution, because of war, and so forth. But, for example, the Iranian rial to the dollar was around 7 to the dollar back in 1979. Now it's over 100,000 to the dollar.
Wow.
And so the Iranians are starting to feel the bite. Mm-hmm. You have, at the same time, a sense that the supreme leader isn't much longer for the world, simply because he's 78 years old, he has cancer, and so forth. So people are starting to think about succession. And you have the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in place, and they are monopolizing. I mean, we think of them as a military force, which threatens American lives, and they most certainly do. Mm-hmm. But from an Iranian perspective, they are a mafia that impinges on business. 40% of Iran's economy is now dominated by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. And because of that, Iranians are frustrated. We've seen a lot of comments recently of the supreme leader, for example, criticizing the way Zarif, the foreign minister, and Rouhani, the president, have handled the nuclear negotiations. We've seen Rouhani and Zarif ask for more power and be denied. Some people see in this the division between hardliners and reformers. You know, I think people who want to see Mohammad Javad Zarif as a reformer are getting it wrong, because mm-hmm. what we're not seeing is hardline versus reform. We're seeing good cop, bad cop, mm-hmm. as the Iranians try to deflect blame away from their own mismanagement of the economy.
Well, that's a good point. And is there going to be enough pressure, as you say, in this pressure cooker, you know, by the people there on the ground level to be able to overcome, you know, such an oppressive, not only government, but the military force?
Well, Bill, I'm a historian, so I get paid to predict the past, and I only get that right about half the time. But and famously, area studies experts have never successfully predicted a revolution. But let me say this. Iran has had sparks in the past. You had uprisings in 1999, in 2001, in 2009, and then you had a great deal of economic unrest, which started in December 2017. The way to think about it is Iran is a tinderbox, and the question is whether the government's better at smothering the embers than opposition is at creating them. Mm-hmm. But this I can say. If there is a succession in Iran, if you have the supreme leader suddenly removed from office simply because of cancer, because he dies, and right. so forth, then all bets are off, because it's going to be hard for any new figure to consolidate power.
Exactly. Speaking of the nuclear situation, where are we in this negotiation? Ever since Trump said, look, at the deal's off, where are we at now?
Well, the danger is this. That Iran, like Israel, like Saudi Arabia, like so many other issues, has become a political football in our national security debate. Gone are the days where we had broad bipartisan consensus on what we stood for and who our allies were. And because of that, you've got a situation in which the Iranians are actively seeking to play the Democratic Party. We recently saw, for example, that Dianne Feinstein had Mohammad Javad Zarif's contacts on her cell phone and that they had gone out to dinner. That would be unheard of just a few years ago. The Iranian foreign minister responsible for the deaths of more than 600 Americans meeting with the former vice chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate. That's something which would be completely unheard of. But what we have now is the Iranians hoping that if the Democrats win election, that all pressure will be off, And, you know, the Democrats would be within their right, if they win election, to go back to the Joint Conference of Plan of Action, the Iranian nuclear deal, like they say. After all, elections matter. But this is the danger. A lot of the Democrats and the progressives who are advocating this course of action forget that because of the sunset clauses in the Iranian nuclear deal, they'd be going back into a deal that would be expiring in a matter of months, and therefore it would be functionally meaningless.
Well, this is part of the challenge that we have right now, Michael. I mean, you know, in negotiating these things, whether it is with China or Iran and other things, you know, the attitude towards Donald Trump is really not in the best interest, the national interest, I would say, international interest of America right now. We're going to continue our conversation with the former Pentagon official, American Enterprise Institute Middle East expert, Michael Rubin, right here on Bill Martinez Live. We're coming on 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Hey, don't forget, for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. from script writing to producing your commercial.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Here at Bill Martinez Live, we remember the sacrifices made on our behalf for our freedoms and freedoms for others around the globe. Thank you.
We can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington.
As we go into the Memorial Holiday weekend, I've always believed that this is a rather hallowed time, you know, for our country, Michael Rubin, you know, and I think sometimes we're challenged with the salutation of Happy Memorial Day. You know, to me, it's just so reverential when you consider all those that have gone before us that have paid that ultimate price. You know, I understand it's a time for family and a time for fun, but my hope and prayer is that this weekend that we would take a legitimate pause, you know, to really pray for our country, to appreciate those that have paid the ultimate price for our liberty, and also the families that are left behind that, you know, carry on the legacy. We're so grateful for them, and you know, so here on Bill Martinez Live, we want to remember Memorial Day as a really hallowed day, you know, a day, you know, that has been set aside to honor those.
Well, I think you're of course absolutely right, Bill, and it means a lot to me, although I've never served. I've had family members who have. I just came off the USS Boxer with the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is, on deployment right now.
Semper Fi.
what I'll do is wander around the Arlington Cemetery. And what's really amazing, and I think actually our politicians need to do this, they should actually know the different sections of Arlington National Cemetery. They should know, for example, where the grave markers of those who died in the Iran hostage rescue mission back in 1980 are. They should know where those who died in Vietnam are and so forth to gain a much greater sense of the sacrifices which have enabled the freedoms which we have at this, on this current day. Sometimes when I look at the political debates in the United States, when I look at the mudslinging, I kind of have a sense that a new generation of politician doesn't really know all that has gone into building this country, or at least doesn't have an accurate understanding of it.
Perfectly said, Michael. I guess we could only hope that there would be some connection with reality and who they're there to serve. You know, it's we the people. It's like you said, the rich history, the people that have believed so much. I mean, you think about this, that you would believe so much in this American dream that it transcends politics. It transcends, Republicans and Democrats, independents, you know, any political force could only wish that they could have this kind of influence. But it's only the American dream and the ideal that, motivates men and women to run the danger to secure our national interest and to secure us and protect us, right?
You're absolutely right, and that's one of the things I most value about when I'm out, for example, on the ships, teaching the Marines, teaching the Navy officers, because you really see people from all walks of life, from all of the 50 states, from all backgrounds, coming together for a common good. Mm-hmm. It's something that I'm not sure a lot of people, as we have these increasing divisions in our society, people in elite universities who haven't served in the military, I don't think they have a full sense of how this really comes together, regardless of race, regardless of identity group, regardless of these political tribes we create. When you're on a ship, it's a mini city. There's 5,000 people, but you really get to see the best of America.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, because look at that point. Of course, when I was in the Marine Corps, we were all one color. Everybody was green. And it's good to be green, you know, I'm telling you. So, I appreciate that. And let me say this, Michael, you know, not only, you know, for you and for others who have not directly served, there are ways to serve our country and support the military. You know, just because you didn't wear a uniform, it didn't mean that you were non-supporting. And here it is, you know, you've given so much of your time. Your family has sacrificed, you know, with you not being at home and serving the military and doing what you do when you're on these ships. I mean, gosh, I'll tell you, sometimes I just wish I could go with you and carry your luggage, man. You know,
I mean, Bill, if I could just give a shout out to my favorite related charity in this case. I'm not sure whether a lot of people know about United Through Reading, which is a charity which allows family members, men, women, who are deployed to read books to their children. It's usually run by the chaplaincy on the ships, on Army bases, on Air Force bases. The DVDs of these servicemen reading books to their young children will then be sent back to their families with the books, so that the little kids can have Papa or Mama read stories to them at night, while they can also read along in the book that their father or their mother was actually reading to them. It really is an invaluable program, especially as we know, A, the sacrifices of separation, but also how important reading to one's children are. It's just one of those issues, one of those things the military does and charities do together, which I'm not sure a lot of people fully understand.
No, that is so cool, and I'm glad that you gave the shout out and you know, shared that with us, because you know, that just warms our hearts, you know, because we think, you know, these deployments, I mean, they're not gone for a weekend. I mean, you know, what are we talking? As many as 6, 10 months?
9 months.
Yeah, right. So once you go out, I mean, to think about it, I have a tough time sometimes, you know, when I'm, because, you know, between Florida and California and Hawaii and, you know, do some traveling to, you know, be with the kids and, you know, business-wise. And I'm okay for a couple of weeks, but, you know, you start going, like in this particular case, it's just been a couple of months. So compared to 9 months, you know, being away from home, it starts to wear on you. And the pressure on the military personnel, the families at home, and that is incredible. And to be able to have this kind of contact, that's really special. Michael, getting back to the situation, just to wrap this up and what's going on, we know that D.C. is known for leaks, and there's been all kinds of leaks happening in terms of, you know, this Iran conflict, that, you know, the president was going to send 1,000, 100,000, you know, foot soldiers into. This is like, this reporting is so dangerous.
Well, not only is the reporting so dangerous, but there seems to be so little introspection about how much of the reporting has been wrong. Mm-hmm. In the old days, of course, a reporter would give confidence to their source, but if their source outright misled them, they would stop going back to that source, and they might even expose that source for breaking the compact. But here we have, and I make no secret of the fact that I'm not a huge fan of President Trump, but he's the president, and law is a law, elections matter, and if someone is going to try to, an unelected bureaucrat is going to try to sway the politics, I'm sorry. That's one step along the way to a coup d'etat. Elections matter.
Right.
People disagree with President Trump. The way to handle it is to vote for someone else in the next election.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to take law into one's own hand.
Yeah, but meanwhile, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the president's trying to negotiate matters with Iran, China, and here we are.
And that's why it makes it almost treasonous, because
yes.
A lot of these people don't have, I mean, it's like the blind man with the elephant describing it. A lot of these petty bureaucrats in various in various departments and so forth have no idea of the big picture of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not adding to it. They're actively undermining it. And if anyone has spent any time in Iran, as I have, that should be the last thing they want to do.
Well, and you see, this is all on the heels. I mean, what Dianne Feinstein did, and even what John Kerry did, some have said, is this a violation of the Logan Act? And, you know, it's out there, but it's not necessarily being enforced. It was suggested that Mike Flynn had violated some form and fashion of the Logan Act, and that's what got him in trouble in part. You know, that was all part of the news scenario. Some of it fake, some of it certainly exaggerated. But meanwhile, you know, it's Flynn that, takes it on the nose. His legacy is compromised, and of course, he's looking at jail.
Well, you're absolutely right. We have to have a real conversation about what foreign lobbying means in this country. It's one of those big issues that we just haven't resolved.
Well, former Pentagon official, American Enterprise Institute, Middle East expert, Michael Rubin on Bill Martinez Live. Michael, thank you so much. Appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you, Bill. God bless.
This message is sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number: 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news, as the special counsel in the Russian probe has something to say about that investigation. Special counsel Robert Mueller is scheduled to make public remarks about the probe at this hour. Earlier today, before it was announced that Mueller would be speaking, special advisor to President Trump Kellyanne Conway was talking about that investigation.
We said no collusion for 2 years, and they couldn't take us at our word. We had to waste $40 million of taxpayer money, 22 months, 500 witnesses, 2,800 subpoenas, 1.4 million documents to come up with what we said all along.
She was speaking on Fox and Friends. A huge tornado hammered northeast Kansas late yesterday, though it spared most of Kansas City, and no serious injuries or fatalities were reported. Today, the Mid-Atlantic runs a risk for very severe weather. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Thaddeus Williams is going to be joining us here in a few seconds, who loves enlarging his students' understanding and enjoyment of Jesus at Biola University in La Mirada, California, where he serves as associate professor of systematic theology for Talbot School of Theology. He also taught philosophy and literature at Saddleback College, jurisprudence at Trinity Law School, and as a lecturer in Worldviews Fellowship in Switzerland and Holland, and ethics for Blackstone Legal Fellowship, the Federalist Society in Washington, D.C. You've been rather busy, Thaddeus, have you not?
I have indeed. Well, opened a lot of doors.
Well, awesome. Well, congratulations on the book, which has been out for a bit, titled Reflect, Becoming Yourself by Mirroring the Greatest Person in History. What What brought all this together for you? What was the congealing point that just said, look, I've got to write this book. This is what's on my heart.
Yeah, this book has been burning in my bones for the better part of 25 years. And I think that what caused everything to come together for me was looking at the church and seeing how horizontal everything was, which was saying, hey, I don't want to be like those Christians over there. They're anti-intellectual. They're just running on blind emotion. And then you hang out with those Christians and they're looking horizontally the other way and saying, well, all those, you know, theologians who care about big ideas and fancy words, their hearts are all cold and cobwebbed. And so I saw a lot of the American church defining itself by what it's not, looking at other Christians. And so I wanted to say, what if we flip that whole thing vertically? And instead of saying, how do we not be like those Christians over there? Let's start with a better and more biblical question. How do we be like Jesus?
Yes.
And so when we start there, we become intellectual, not to separate ourselves from anti-intellectual Christians, but because we want to mirror Jesus who loves the Father with his mind. We want to be emotional, not to be unlike those cold-hearted intellectual Christians, but because Jesus loved the Father with his whole heart. So the whole book is really to wake the church in America up to how glorious Jesus is and how he can bring all of us back to life.
Well, let's bring it back to the central thought, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because sometimes I think we get carried away with ourselves, and you know we're doing it in the body politic right now. I mean, the culture has bifurcated itself. We're no longer the United States. We're, as we say, the un-United States. But speaking of spiritually, you know, what did Jesus want? I mean, his last prayer was unity. So if his last prayer is unity, what was it? What was the unifying factor?
It was him.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
John 17, his prayer there. You know, it's the night before his execution. He's praying the high priestly prayer, and he says, Father, may they be one as we are one.
Exactly.
There's a prayer for unity, and the thing I love about that is the fact that Jesus is praying tells us that the Father has the sovereignty to answer that prayer and bring about a unified church centered on him instead of just kind of being pushed and pulled by the waves of culture and that horizontal game of how do we not be like those people over there.
It really is a mission statement, isn't it? I mean, that he sets forth.
Absolutely.
Because he congeals it, and we lose through this process. You know, this is where the enemy of this world is so clever, and we get caught up in all this, and then we end up going into our little tribes, as you say. You know, I'm the one with the degrees. You're not. I'm more intellectual, or you know, you don't know how to freely worship, and you know, here we are, purposely putting blindfolds on. You know, feeling different parts of the elephant, and being disunified as opposed to coming together, and knowing that when, or at least experiencing those times when we are not united. What is it? What did we lose sight of? And this is the point that you're bringing clear, at least to me anyway, and I'm understanding you saying, is that, you know, we got to stop and get back to the basics. I mean, what is it all about? I mean, you know, for me, as I read the New Testament and prayers of Jesus and how what he said to people, he says, I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing. I mean, he was so in tune and in alignment that for me, I've embraced that, Thaddeus. I've embraced the idea, the concept of alignment, that every day my mind, body, and spirit would be aligned with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And with that intention, like Jesus, who said, hey, I'm only doing what I see you do.
Yeah. Well, think of it like this. C.S. Lewis has a little essay where he makes a very important distinction. He talks about the difference between what he calls first things and second things.
Mm-hmm.
And his overarching principle is if you make some second thing a first thing, you not only lose the real first thing, you lose the second thing too.
Right.
If you make the first thing the first thing, the second thing often gets thrown in as a bonus. And so thinking about the church in America and around the world, what we tend to do is say, okay, we want to be relevant. We want people to like us. We want to have a voice in the culture. And so we make relevance our first thing. And when we do that, we lose the real first thing, which is reverence for God, which is what you're describing. That's what Jesus had in every
moment of his existence, reverence for the Father, when you make that your first thing, you become simultaneously relevant because God is supremely relevant to all people in all times and all places.
Mm-hmm.
But when we put relevance first, then our whole identity is being shaped by what we think the culture likes. How do we not be like those Westboro Baptists, you know, sign-waving protesters? So if we start with relevance, we not only lose reverence for God, we become irrelevant at the same time. So the book is really a rally cry to what does reverence look like? If we're really worshiping God, how will that impact our intellect, our emotions, mm-hmm. our actions, our relationships, our creative lives and imaginations?
Well, what C.S. Lewis would also say is relevance is temporal. It has to do with the current condition of the culture that we're in. That's not the higher calling. You know, it's just what you just said. The higher calling is reverence. If we're reverent, then out of that reverence, out of that understanding of who God is, then out of that will come our identity. So we have to look to God to say, okay, what lane are we supposed to travel in? You know, we go to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's time, seasons, and I think there's lanes. There's particular objectives that we have that are identified in that book, if we can read it and open to that. And there are specific lanes. Now, I've always maintained, Thaddeus, that Jesus did not go to the cross to set up denominations, but we got him right now. And all that does is it tribalizes. It disunites us. It doesn't hold us together on those key issues. You imagine if we were together as one voice, no matter what, no matter how we decided to demonstrate that to the culture, but that we were reverential towards God, I think that in itself would make us relevant. You know, as you say, that's the second thing. The first thing, if we're doing the first thing, the second thing, along with all the added benefits and things that we didn't even think were possible, because God always deals with that beyond what we could think or imagine realm, right?
Sure. Yeah, but to a lot of people that sounds just so abstract. You know, what does it mean to actually have reverence for God be your first thing, the thing that defines you from the time you roll out of bed in the morning to the time your head hits the pillow at night? And so, you know, coming up through the Christian world over the years, that felt like this unattainable, undefinable, you know, pie in the sky kind of thing. And so in the book, I really bring it down to earth and say, here's what it would look like in your thought life on a daily basis, in your emotional life, your relationship, what you do for 40 hours a week at your job. Here's what Christ-likeness actually looks like in those areas. And the fascinating thing is if you look at the whole book starts with Psalm 115,
mm-hmm.
where, to paraphrase, it's ancient Near Eastern idol worship. They're bowing down literally to rocks. And the psalmist says something so powerful. He says, those who make them become like them. So if you're bowing down to
yes,
a rock,
right.
you become as heartless and as dumb as a rock. And that principle applies across the board, that we're all in the process of becoming like whatever we worship, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you take a consumer who bows down to product, that person becomes more plastic, more artificial, more phony, more manufactured.
Right.
Somebody who worships their spouse, their romantic partner, loses right. their own identity.
Got to go to break. We'll be back with more from Thaddeus Willoughby.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-536-4436.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call.
That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Stand in the light and be seen as we are.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
This is who I am inside. This is who I am. I'm not gonna hide. Cause the greatest risk we'll ever take is by far. To stand in the light and be seen as we are.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez Live.
You know, we've often heard that we are what we read. We are and become that which we focus on. And Dr. Thaddeus Williams is with us. His brand new book called Reflect, Becoming Yourself by Mirroring the Greatest Person in History. And, you know, you think about it, it sounds so simple and practical, but it also causes you to pause a moment and consider the question, you know, what am I reflecting? You know, as Dr. Williams had said earlier, I mean, if it's consumerism and the things that we purchase, a car or maybe it's the trophy wife or whatever, is this a godly reflection or is there a higher calling? And the challenge is, particularly for people of faith, who think that maybe they can just stick their toe in the water and maybe kind of be lukewarm about this and really not take God for the word that he shared with us and for all intent so that it would go well for us. Dr. Thaddeus Williams is with us. He's a professor at Biola University in La Mirada, California. Dr. Williams, you know, expand on this even more so, if you would. You know, we had to stop short a little bit because we had to go to break. You know, I wanted to give you a chance to, you know, complete your thought.
Sure. So Psalm 115 you worship a rock, you become as heartless and dumb as a rock. Mm-hmm. And part of the premise there is that we're all on our knees to something, right? We all have something we make supreme, something that if you do a pie chart of your thought life or your emotions, something that gets the biggest slice. And this really dawned on me a few years ago. I was teaching at a college out here in California, and the class assigned to me was history of atheism. And so I show up the first day, and it's me in a classroom of about 60 atheists, mm-hmm. and ended up teaching that class for 9 years.
Wow.
And one of the things I really took away from that class was that as many people claimed to be atheists, they were still on their knees to something or someone.
Exactly.
It might have been science that's going to save us. It might have been socialism is going to save us. It might have been this romantic partner is going to save me. And so I realized the Bible's had it right all along. It's not so much that there's theists who believe in God and atheists who don't. We're all theists. Mm-hmm. We're all on our knees to something or someone.
Right.
And those deities are shaping our identities. And so really the heartbeat of this book is that there's no conceivable object of worship out there, no political ideology, there's no romantic partner, there's no career success, there's nothing in the universe that can hold a candle to Jesus in his capacity to bring our intellects and our emotions and our actions and relationships and imaginations to life.
We're designed to worship, are we not?
Yeah, I mean, all the way from the beginning. We were designed, we are creatures of worship, but it's fascinating when you see people deny the creator as the object of worship. What does Paul say in Romans 1? We end up on our knees to creation.
Mm-hmm.
We bow down to some created thing and make that supreme. And when we make something not the creator supreme, it eats us alive. It has a way of turning from something that could be soul enlarging to something that just rips us apart.
And the prophet questions our form of worship, says, look, at you know, with a log, you use half of it for fuel, the other half to make an idol. You know, what's wrong with this picture? You know, my interpretation,
yeah.
You know, right? It's like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and on top of that, it's such a great God that you even have to carry it around. It doesn't even move on its own, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of goofy when you think about it. But, again, relevant to that premise, and that's, again, first things first, is that knowing we're designed, and especially people of faith, because they get that. They get that clearly. Atheists, they're in denial, and others, you know, just want to refute and kick at the goad, so to speak. But particularly people of faith, you know, that low-hanging fruit, if we can put it in marketing terms, that's there. You already get that. You get that you are designed for worship. You do that. But are you committed? Are you committed to hold to the first things first principle, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem there is, you know, John Calvin famously spoke of the fact that the human heart is an idol factory. And that applies to believers and non-believers alike. Our hearts are constantly churning out something not God to make supreme, something that consumes our thought lives, our emotions, other than the creator, sovereign, sustainer of the universe. And so I realized just how powerful my own idol factory heart is. Just one quick personal story on this. If you were to ask my wife and I, what do we worship? We would tell you flat out, Jesus. Jesus is supreme. He's more glorious than anything else in existence. But going back almost 10 years ago now, we wanted to get into the housing market. And so we started thinking about it so much so and stressing about it and putting offers on houses and getting beat out of offers and trying to pull together the down payment to the point where if you pie charted out our thought lives and emotions, a house was bigger than Jesus to us.
Right, right.
And one night we had 20 or so offers fall through, and it was incredibly frustrating and stress-inducing. But one night on the couch, it just, by a move of God, I realized we have made an idol out of home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and I just sunk to our knees there and confessed the idol. And the next week, we were thinking more about Jesus than a house. We didn't
right.
just put it in God's sovereign hands. Well, a week later, we get a call from our then 2-year-old preschool teachers saying, hey, I heard you guys are looking for a house. Here's a key move in tomorrow and buy it when you're ready.
Oh, wow.
And I'll knock $100,000 off the market price for you.
Oh,
and it
wow.
was just this whole thing. And when you put the first thing first, you really do tend to get the second things thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to a life of reverence and reflecting Jesus that that blesses us in a way that nothing else can.
You know, Thaddeus, God spoke to me a number of years ago in terms of, you know, first things first. And,
yep.
you know, what Jesus came for was to set the captives free. And more, you know, I look at the whole idea of liberty and freedom is that is the ultimate call, that God wants us to be wants us to be free. And we,
yep.
you know, just like you do, and we all do, we all have those things and hope and thank God for those God moments to say, hey, look at, you know, we've abandoned first things and we've got the wrong focus. And in the incorrect focus, we're enslaved. We're enslaved by that idol. We're enslaved by that, you know, that constant reminder. Oh, you know, I gotta have this house, or I gotta have that car, I gotta have that love interest. And, that's contra what God wants for us, and it's freedom. And so I have to constantly remind myself, and I do this with the audience as well, and even in the political realm, to say, okay, what is advancing the cause for freedom? What's adding or taking away? And I think that has to be the proposition that we consider on a daily basis, which, again, what does it take us back to, as we talked about earlier? It takes us back to Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had an article just come out about a month ago in the Journal of Christian Legal Thought that's free online,
mm-hmm.
and the article is just called Putting First Things First.
Mm-hmm.
And the subtitle is The Gospel and Social Justice in That Order.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think right now in 2019, the church in America, again, going back to our conversation about relevance, we want so desperately to be liked and accepted and get a warm welcome and a pat on the back from the culture that when it comes to a lot of the most, you know, powder keg, hot button issues in our day, whether it's definition of marriage, whether it's how to combat racism, fill in the blank,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of ways where we're making an idol out of being liked so that we're taking our cues from the culture rather than from the God who created and sustained the universe on a lot of these issues. So all that to say, it's the same point I was making about my wife and I in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry is a lot more subtle,
yes.
a lot more pervasive than we realize. And so we need to constantly be asking the Holy Spirit, man, if there's stuff in here that I'm making a first thing instead of you, would you expose the idol and would you smash it?
Yeah, exactly. And the call is, Thaddeus, is that we need all people of faith to come together and to rise to this calling and to see this. This is why your book is so important, because it does remind us, you know, what is the first thing? I mean, you imagine, you know, and I have on occasion the opportunity to speak into men's life. And I said, the opportunity is for us to be able to come alongside shoulder to shoulder and back to back with the same focus, the same goal in mind, you know, for liberty and honoring Christ and Jesus in us. And if you can do that, you imagine if you're in an expanding circle of like-minded people, Lord have mercy, what a force, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And you think of, you know, you brought up John 17 earlier,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is praying for our unity. But the mind-blowing thing about that passage there in John 17, he says, the world will know that you sent me. This is Jesus talking to the Father. The world will know that you sent me based on the depth and authenticity of Christians' love for each other. And so there's, you know, in a tribalized, polarized, disunited, you know, states of America, us versus them, there is in Scripture one kind of tribe, a tribe that's centered around Jesus,
Amen.
That can convince the watching world he is all the extraordinary things he claimed to be. And that, to me, is the one way to bring real unity from every tongue, tribe, and nation.
Amen.
When it's centered on Jesus, there
right.
isn't any other ethnic identity or anything.
Well said. Dr. Thaddeus Williams, his book, Reflect Becoming Yourself by Mirroring the Greatest Person in History. It'll be linked on our website
Warning.
At BillMartinezLive.com.
If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back. Because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Jose works.